Post Game Central is brought to you by University of Phoenix.
How did you experience a left tackle go yesterday, you think?
It was good. It went well. Pretty much what I expected to see and to get. And with the way I've been practicing, with the game plan and everything like that, it pretty much was on point for the most part.
What's the biggest difference?
Well, you know, it's just a different type of mindset when you're inside as opposed to being outside on the edge, especially at left tackle. At times you can be on the island, and in the purest sense of the word, it's really a one-on-one matchup with you and the defender based on the play that's called.
Mike, when they got you guys singled up there in like the last drive of the game, they threw a lot of stunts out there. Were there some communication issues between you and the rest of the line on those, because they got a couple shots on Jay?
Yeah, for the last play of the game for our offense, it was a miscommunication between myself and Slauson. We were caught in between passing off a stunt or manning the stunt. And with the way the game was going, with the way the look was, you know, I went to man when Slauson went to pass it off. And so that's something that we both talked about coming off the field. And more so a continuity thing of just having a feel for the guy next to you and, you know, learning him. I'm learning him, he's learning me, and, you know, I'm doing more of the learning because he's a vet, you know, so I'm catching up to him.
What have these last few months been like for you, fighting for a roster spot, playing right tackle, left guard, left tackle, and just feeling the ebb and flow of the NFL in that regard?
Yeah, it's been exciting. It's been a roller coaster, to say the least, but it's definitely been exciting. I'm still here, so that's an awesome thing. And, you know, it's actually helped me, especially with the way the season's turned out. You know, if I would have just came in and been at one position and then, you know, just got tossed in there, not really having any background playing in these different positions, I don't know if I would have fared as well. So I think it was a blessing in disguise being able to bounce around like that.
Is there anything eye-opening for you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm in the NFL. Everything's eye-opening. You know, my eyes are wide open. Just trying to take it all in, learn as much as I can from the vets and this experience, and at the same time, you know, not get overwhelmed, but to enjoy it as well.
How helpful is it to have a few days to prepare? Obviously, Jermon went down midweek versus you look back to week one, it's two different positions, but you were literally thrown into the fire mid-game. Do you feel more comfortable when you have a little bit of time preparation-wise during the week?
Yeah, time to prepare is always better than just jumping in there. And it was just unfortunate the way the situation happened. But, you know, thankfully it was nothing serious, and I was able to prepare. The guys rallied around me. We rallied around each other, and, you know, everything. We went out there, and we were ready to do what we had to do. Oh, yeah. I mean, just knowledge. I just tried to gain as much knowledge as I could from him. He's just such an intelligent football player, not just at tackle position, but he just gets it. He gets offenses. He gets how people rush. He's been in the league for so long, and he's been on such awesome offenses that, you know, he's seen a lot. There's pretty much nothing that I've done, nothing that I've experienced so far in this league is something that he hasn't experienced. He's been through it. And so, you know, whether it's during practice, my steps, if my toes are pointed the wrong way, he's going to pull me to the side, and he's going to let me know about it. But just staying next to him, keeping him in my back pocket, you know, even when we were playing, I'd come off, I'm like, yo, what are you seeing? How am I looking? And he'd give me little pointers and everything like that. But the biggest thing was just the fact that he believed in me. He was like, listen, man, this is what you've been doing. You're going to go out there and you're going to kill it. And so that kind of helped reaffirm me to just go out there, play freely.
Michael, with everything you do, right tackle, left guards, can you play center?
I doubt it. You know, if I need to, though, I definitely will give it my all, just like I will with any other position. But I'm gonna leave that for guards and Dela.
How long was joking a couple weeks ago that you ask questions nonstop every day of practice? What are your thoughts on that scouting report?
Oh, yeah, that would be true. He definitely might need to get a career change and be a scout, because that's true. I mean, you know. Nothing wrong with asking questions. I just, it's so much that I need to learn, and have so little time to do it with as much time that we place in preparation and everything like that. So as soon as I see something that's just not clicking in my head, you know, I'm like, hey, man, what's going on? Or, hey, what do you think about this? And that's pretty much how I've been. Sometimes my coach is like, you know what, we'll meet later after practice to talk, because I know you're going to ask me questions. But, you know, that's just how I am.
You ask them to anybody and everybody?
Yeah. The way I look at it is I'm the last person on the totem pole, and I know pretty much nothing. So everybody and anybody has something to offer.
Mike, was there any frustration on the field in the huddle in the second half of what the adjustment Carolina made to try and keep everything in front of them, try and take your big targets away down the field, and, you know, having to settle for 5 yards here, 5 yards here?
No, there were not frustration in the sense of what you're saying, just because it's – we know, you know how a game is. You know, there's opportunities out there. There's missed opportunities, and we're not just out there playing 7-on-7. There's defense in front of us. These guys are getting paid millions of dollars to do what they do, and so sometimes they're going to take away some of your options, and sometimes you have to settle for what they give you. But there was no point at that time within that game where we didn't feel like we could go down there and score. It's just that's not the way things work the entire second half.
I know you weren't here last year, but do you get the impression talking to the guys that were, that they just expect so much more from their offense?
As soon as I got here, even before I got here, I knew about it just because I follow football. But even when I got here, the attitude is just that, you know, we have the ability, we have the tools, we have the knowledge to get things done and to put up points. And we're not going to be satisfied with mediocre where, and, you know, somewhere else it might be like, oh, hey, you know, you guys are putting up like 24. Like, for us, we just hold the standard so high. And, you'd have to just be like a novice and not know football and not know who you have and the weapons that you have to, you know, be content with where we're at. So we always believe that we can go farther as an offense, and we know that we can. Now it's just about being consistent in doing it.
How do you keep that dissatisfaction from turning into something not good for the team, turning into frustration or anger?
Yeah, you know, we have great coaches. Chrome, he's an awesome coordinator, awesome coach. We have a great staff. We also have veteran guys, leaders on this team who, you know, they take a long look in the mirror at themselves first, and we all do as an offense, as a group. We look at ourselves first and what we need to do, and it's just a gut check. I mean, it's a lot of ball left in this season, and even though we're not where we pictured ourselves to be at this point in time, you know, the season is far from over. It's just getting started, and you know, with that leadership there, you know, it keeps the group bound together. And where you would have some guys who would probably start thinking to the left or to the right, you know, that strong leadership group keeps everybody, you know, focusing right on track of where we need to be.
Michael, when the Bears first signed you, I'm guessing you didn't assume that you have started four games at two different positions. What was your mindset back then?
I was just thankful that I had another shot, and I was like, all right, man, let's go, you know. But not in my wildest dreams, especially after the year they had last year. I just knew. I was like, you know, maybe at different positions, you know, somebody's going to get hurt. But this offensive line, they're awesome. They're great. They're invincible. They're not going to get hurt. I'm just going to spend a couple years learning the game. Hopefully, if I'm on the team, learning the game, watching these great guys, and then maybe trying to sneak a couple plays in here and there. But at the same time, you know, working on my craft to the point where it's like, if my number is called, you know, I better go out there and perform.
Michael, what's been the biggest part about learning this game versus the CFL, which is quite different, especially for an offensive lineman, the rules, the linemen are further off, you know, the line of scrimmage. What's been the biggest adjustment there for you?
You know, just understanding the game, honestly. In the CFL, the game's a little bit different, but at the same time, there's just a lot more complexities here in this league that I'm finding out. You know, I never knew there were so many different ways to run zone and power and all these different plays that you've been running pretty much your whole life being in the game. But just the level in which things are detailed and categorized at this level is pretty much been the biggest thing for me, you know, that will slow the game down for me and allow me to be able to play more freely.
Michael,
It looked like Matt got a few good runs yesterday, but there was also a bunch of times he got stopped right at the line or maybe for a loss. What did you guys see on tape that were some of the reasons you couldn't be consistent?
Man, you know, honestly, we in the past have just been shooting ourselves in the foot. And it's like everybody takes a turn at it. You know, it could be one person on this play or another person on this play. And it is more so just attention to detail and being focused on every snap. Because, you know, there's drives there where, you know, we're on the field and it looks like there's not a defense. And then there's drives when it's just like, man, we just can't seem to get it right. So it's not a physical thing. It's not a game plan thing. It's just being focused, being consistent, and being willing to do your job every single play, because you never know when that one time that you don't do your job is going to cause somebody to get hit or is going to cause a loss for your team. And so that's pretty much what it is a mentally being consistent and focused every snap.
Michael, the players among yourselves, not to be critical, are you talking about the penalties or what to watch for? Is it affecting the group?
No, it's not affecting the group. We understand how it is, and we understand, you know, the refs, they do their job, and they're going to have a job to do. There'll be times where we don't necessarily agree with calls, and, you know, we will definitely band together with our team and with the members who, you know, these calls get called upon. But we also understand, too, that, you know, we can't shoot ourselves in the foot by having consistent penalties. So even if it's in practice, what we do, we definitely try to be smart, especially if a coach doesn't see it, but players try to police themselves. And, like, whether I'm hitting somebody in the face with a face mask call, you know, it'd be like, yo, your hand's too high. Or, you know, just little stuff like that. We try to police ourselves because we know that it can be detrimental for our team on Sundays. And so I think the players do a great job of just keeping things in check. As much as we can't control, and things we can't control, you just move on.
Do you detect any confusion as far as what's a penalty and what's not?
Not, you know, I doubt it. At least from my perspective and my standpoint, this game's too fast for me to be able to psychoanalyze the, all right, is this a penalty? Is this not a penalty when, you know, you got 350-pound guys in front of your face flying full speed? So from what I could see, I would say no.
The way the hands to the face penalty is being called, does that inhibit you? You know what I'm saying? Does that keep guys from doing what they may normally do just to avoid the risk of getting the hand up there and getting a tough call?
You know, you would think that, but just like anything, football players always adapt. And if things were legal last year and are not legal this year, you know, we're going to adapt. And I don't feel like that would be a detriment. I mean, you know, stuff still happens, and it's not intentional. You know, things aren't intentional all the time. But for the most part, it doesn't change the game. You know, if you can block somebody, you can block them. If you can't, you right. can't. Okay. So.
Post Game Central is brought to you by University of Phoenix.